You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Everybody, heads up, you've got the Manning Report. I am James David Manning, the quintessential American, broadcasting from the great metropolis of New York City. How's everybody doing? It's Veterans Day, everybody. Hey, I am of the Vietnam era, though I did not serve in Vietnam, and I'm not a vet. Many of my classmates and people of my general age that I grew up with served, and a number of them died in the rice paddies of Vietnam. And so for me, today is special for them. And one particular veteran or person that lost his life in Vietnam was a very dear friend of mine named Joe L. Torrey, who shortly after arriving in Vietnam in 1966 was shot down and his head blown off. A terrible thing for an 18-year-old to have to experience, and for all of us in the little town that we came from to have to swallow. But a large number of people from the state that I came, the high school and general county and vicinity, were killed in Vietnam. I did not go. I was classified 3C. If you don't remember those classifications, I had gotten married and was in college and did not serve. But I do want to remember the Vietnam War in particular today as we honor all veterans, and we certainly are going to be honoring the service of Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick, the Leavenworth 10, and a host of others. And friends, you need to also get ready for Sharia law that is making its way into the American psyche. I just don't know what's going on with y'all out there, but hey, let me take a call, and I'll get back to more details. Hello, caller. Timothy, yes. Are you there?
I understand where you're coming from, and I've got a quote here up front, if I may. This man died in 1891. Name was Albert Pike. He was Grand Commander of the Freemasons. But he said the Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Now, he also diagrammed or laid out the First and Second World War. This is not a prophecy. This is a plan of attack. The First World War was fomented to prepare the land for the Jews. The Second was fomented to prepare the Jews for the land. And out of the Second World War, we now have this thing called anti-Semitism.
Listen, I understand clearly, that there is certainly a problem of the weeds and also the crops growing together, and that their roots are tangled when you talk about
the Jews who say they are, but they are not. And the group that you're making mention of is at present. And even the establishment of the State of Israel in terms of David Ben-Gurion and its purposes and how it was established leaves a lot of question in my mind. However, I think the overarching point that we have to continue to focus on is that the Jews are tenaciously representing the true power of the Torah, the true meaning of the inheritance of the land. And a number of people have not had the kind of opportunity to be able to make a separation between people like the Trotskyites or the Sephardic Jews. So therefore, when you talk about Zionists, which I believe that those who are truly following the Torah and those who are establishing themselves based on the premises of the Torah are indeed Zionists that need to be praised for their Zionist beliefs. But to the average person, I think what happens is that this broad brush that oftentimes gets used, it marginalizes all Jews. You got to know right now, there's a facet of Jews right now in Israel that are fighting as tenaciously as they can to overthrow the Netanyahu and that whole liberal government there that is not really a Jewish. I mean, Netanyahu was trained in, I think, MIT, and he's got a bunch of cohorts. He belongs to the Council on Foreign Relations, and he's not a Jew. He's not supporting the Jewish cause, and even though he's given some lip service about what has recently been stated by the long-legged Mac Daddy and the rebuilding of the settlements, he's not truly a Zionist nor a Jew.
The thing that is shaping up over there is, I believe, Ezekiel 30 and 39 beginning to come to pass. These people who want this thing to be perpetrated between the two brothers, if you want to call them that, will intervene by God.
I believe that.
I think it's later than we think. I think this is shaping up very nicely, for lack of a better way of saying it. I'm fighting the good fight to hold back the evil. I spread the gospel. I've been studying this for 35 years to Christianize the whole world order resting in the arms of the wicked one. I got into geopolitics. I've spent 10 years in Paris watching the culmination of the EU, and this whole thing is very much shaping up for the end time prophecies. It's very exciting to be alive.
It is. You're right. It is exciting to be alive at this time, and it must. We can't prevent this. We cannot. It must happen. And I dare I say and risk being considered a heretic, but I say that were there not a God, this would still happen. There would have to be a building of a civilization towards an ultimate end, which is a total unity, and the strongest of the group would then survive and dominate. However, God is the arbiter of who is going to be the strong leader within his planet and his humanity.
Right,
and what we're discussing is inevitable. You and I can't stop it from happening. What we want to try to do is give clarity so that we don't paint everybody the wrong way.
I use this to point toward the gospel ultimately, because you can very clearly now, more so than 30 years ago, point toward this and point toward the scriptures and compare the two, and people kind of sit there and they can't say, wow, this isn't happening. It is happening. I talked to them about Jesus Christ being born again, put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the Lord's using me in a great way in this area. I'm very excited to be used by the Lord in this area. That's really all I had to say. I think we should lay aside our differences for the Word of God. And I'm weary of the racial thing being stirred up all the time. We should come together and start looking at the culprits rather than the power differences.
You know what? I think, I'm delighted to hear you say that, and I want to express exactly what you've said with respect to my point of view. But I'm convinced that there is a way in which the truth will coalesce the righteous of God, whether they be Jews or Christians. I believe that if we pursue truth, and we look very carefully. Unfortunately, you and I, we have to wade our way through a menagerie of lies told by Satan, who wants to confuse all of us and keep all of us weak because we have not seen the light or the truth. But if we become a seeker of truth, And you've been studying for 35 years, and you watched the development of the EU and Europe. I think that's something that we need to be very, very cautious about happening here in America. And they developed because they've lost their power, and now they have been overcome by Islamic power because they've lost their personal identity. And I don't have much more time to spend with you. I do want to say I appreciate what you've said, and I would like to make a commitment to not allow my rhetoric to be inflammatory. But I think that I need to state that if we throw out that one guidebook called the Bible, which points us to Zionism, it does. And it may have been a dirty word. I mean, it could be out of the various teachings appear to be a dirty word, but it is a biblical word. And we need to try to keep the biblical aspect of it focused, because there are people that are Zionists, that are Jews, that are trying to preserve the land and preserve the word of God, and therefore preserve us all. We have to remember as Christians that salvation came through the Jews. We cannot deny that nor turn back the hands of time. So I would say, and I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can to wake the true Zionists up to their cause, and I'll ask them, and I'll, why are they allowing themselves to be infiltrated by these imposters who are destroying the truth of the Torah and destroying the future of us all? I want to work towards that, because I believe if I don't, I lose my own opportunity.
As Christians, we should pray for the peace of Israel. Yes.
Yeah, we should. No, we absolutely should. And thusly, I think we will find peace ourselves. But we, as you stated, we are caught in the fact that this is a culmination of prophetic, biblical statements that we cannot overcome, but we must be as wise as we possibly can as we go through this process, that we do not alienate ourselves from the truth and cause ourselves to hinder the process, the prophecy of God. Listen, thank you very much for your call. Enjoyed talking with you, and I pray that everyone who's heard you today would understand your position and understand my position, because I believe from the tenor of your voice and the tenacity of the commitment that you've made, nobody makes a commitment such as what you've made unless they are seeking the truth. And I pray that people would know that, and that within itself is more honorable than anything else. If you're seeking the truth, how wrong can you be? And so I pray that folk would know that about your call. Listen, thank you so very much for being on the broadcast today. All right, listen, friends, here. Now, the deal is this, is that we've got to, again, the Vietnam is very important for me. I mean, my father served in World War II and developed a terrible disease in the jungles of New Guinea. What American soldiers were doing in New Guinea, I don't know. But as he stated to me, there was something called the Pacific Theater. And though he was a soldier in the Army, the Navy was mainly involved in all that Pacific going-ons over there. But he contracted some sort of disease and from New Guinea, and he never recovered and died a young man. So I want to honor my father, who is a veteran of veterans and who gave his life for this nation. So all these creeps running around here, Melania, especially people like the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, my daddy would slap his face. Now, y'all go ahead and get mad about that, but he would. My uncles, two uncles, I had one named Alfonso and the another one named Willie James. Both of them, they were close in age, and both of them served in Korea shortly after World War II, which is where the long-legged Mac Daddy is. Now, he got some nerve over there where true American patriots gave their lives. Their blood is drenched in the Korean and a war, by the way, that's still going on, the so-called armistice of the truce that was created back in the 1950s can be dissolved by Kim Jong-il throwing a firecracker across the line, and they're back to fighting again. But I want to honor my uncles that served in Korea, and my father that served. And then I came along in the Vietnam era, and all of my friends got drafted. I mean, the talk of us in high school and college, the Vietnam War was beginning to reach its peak in 1965. And by 1966, a number of us were already there and were being injured. And the ones, the soldiers, my friends, my boyhood friends that grew up, that I grew up with, that were not killed in Vietnam, came back heroin addicts. I mean, they came back. I didn't even know them. I mean, they were so strung out on drugs, on heroin that was easily accessible in Vietnam. And a number of them also came back with wretched diseases, and a number of them just died in their 30s and their 40s as a result of the horrors of the Vietnam War, and they never recovered. Here I am, I'm healthy today, and I've got a life of service, and I am so fortunate today to be able to have the opportunity to do what I do, because many of my friends, people that I, you know, were I was Boy Scouts with them, played basketball with them. I mean, we spent days in school together, and we knew nothing except each other. And now they're gone, and yet I'm here. And so you got to know that I want to appreciate them today. I want to be able to express my thanksgiving to them. Now, there, of course, there are many of you others who are part of another generation, but my generation was the Vietnam generation, and what a great service they rendered to our nation. We're going to be talking more about the two soldiers that I'm very concerned about, and also the Leavenworth 10. We're going to be talking about them. These men are imprisoned for having served this nation against the insurgency of Islam, and we want to remember the Leavenworth 10, so I'll be talking about that all day today, but I got to take a break now and pay some taxes, as it would be, and I'll be right back. But we also want to give some sort of medal of degradation to the long-legged Mac Daddy, because he served the CIA for 4 years in Afghanistan. I'm James David Madden, the quintessential American. I'll be right back.
From Harlem to the world, this is the Dr. Pastor James David Manning Show.
Everybody, it's the second hour of the Manning Report. I am James David Manning, the quintessential American, broadcasting from the great metropolis of New York City. How's everybody doing? So today is Veterans Day, everybody. That's right. Many of you never served in the military. Good thing you didn't, because our nation would have gone down the tube had you done so. But those that did, we want to honor them. And of course, as I stated in the first segment that you just heard, that my friend Joel Torre was killed in Vietnam, along with a number of other close associates of mine from that era I came from. Got an interesting balance of the broadcast today. We also want to honor Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. And I've got some things I need to say about him. And we also want to remember and honor Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick, who's in the lockup, the Huskow. And it's a host guy. They got this man in a dungeon down there in Madisonville County, Monroe County, I think, one of those counties down there, Tennessee. And there's going to be a march on Saturday in support of him, and you also want to contribute to his legal defense fund by going to thepostemail.com and making a donation, whatever it is. If it's only $1, do it. Otherwise, I'm coming to get you. And, you know, I've got a number of things I want to talk about today. I'm still haven't finished my talk with the Tea Party. And, of course, and more honoring of the veterans, stuff like that. You're listening to the Quintessential American, everybody. I'll be right back. Two shakes of a cat's tail and the emptying of my wallet to the federal government in taxes that are unheard of. All right, heads up, everybody. I will be taking your calls shortly. I know that you've been trying to chime in, and we're going to try to pick your calls up. Got a call from Jamaica. I don't know who that is, but at any rate, Jamaica and everybody else will be picking up those calls shortly, so don't lose faith or heart. But today is Veterans Day, and we want to make mention of the Leavenworth 10. Now, The Leavenworth, I just realized a lot of people don't know about that prison, Leavenworth, like the leaven that Jesus talked about, that leavens, you know, the bread. It's called leaven, L-E-A-V-E-N, worth. It's all one word. 10 is also another word, .com. You don't go there. You want to go there, rather. And you want to discover all of the 10 soldiers that have been imprisoned, have been court-martialed, sentenced, imprisoned for simply doing their duties. And you want to read about them. And so we're going to be talking about that today. I want you to stay focused on that, as well as a number of other major veterans and patriots that have done tremendous things in defense of our great nation, America. So be mindful of the fact that it is Veterans Day. And we have several pontifications that we'd like to try to elucidate here today as well. And one of them is this. I want to seriously talk to you as Americans about our political process and the salvation of our nation. I have come to a point of very little faith anymore in any of the major multinational structures within our society. And let me tell you what I want to say. I believe that the notion politically that has been floated for some time regarding term limits for politicians is a questionable idea. I'm not sure I'm for term limits without some criteria for states who lose long-standing senators or congresspersons being compensated. But that having been said, the idea of term limits has been introduced and promoted because it appears that once a congressperson stays in Congress for a period of time, they become jaded, insensitive, and bloated, and oftentimes corrupted, and more often corrupted than any of the other things that we've said. But surely, one would probably average that 90% of the long-term congresspersons become that after 3 to 4 terms in their seats. And we know this is true, and therefore they no longer serve the interests of the people that initially voted for them, but rather they serve the interest of the big donors and others who have louder voices and deeper pockets. I want to suggest to you that we truly consider that the media in America, print media, television media, they all have become what I would now refer to as the fourth department of our government. They are very influential. Most people now come to know politicians not through the newspapers or through personal contact with them or the county or city in which they live, but they come to know politicians and political ideas through the media. It's the news pundits and anchors that give us our slant and our appreciation, understanding, and reason for voting or not voting for a particular candidate. I want to further state this, that after a person has been a pundit and has working for a major news corporation and their income started scaling into the millions of dollars, for instance, like Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly, who earn approximately $50 million per year for what they do, you and I have to come to terms with this irrefutable truth. When a man is being paid, his boss is paying him $50 million a year. You have got to know that a man making that kind of money works and represents his boss. He is not independent to represent you. He represents what his boss wants said and what his advertisers want said. So effectively, a Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or others, Glenn Beck, they represent the interests of the corporation that they work for and not necessarily you. These corporations pay these men large sums of money to influence you to buy their products. Not only do they want you to buy the Ford motor car or the new Chevy or the new Honda or BMW, but they also want you to buy the line of politics and policies that are beneficial to the Fox News Corporation and all of its many advertisers. So really, Glenn Beck is nothing more than a pitch man for the mega corporations. He is not your friend. Anybody who makes $50 million and is paid that, a man signs your paycheck for $50 million, you represent him and his interest. And my fellow Americans, we've got to come to terms with this central truth. So, when your boss, who pays you $10 million a year or $20 million a year like Beck earns, says to you he doesn't want certain types of stories covered that would benefit or enlighten the people or help the American cause, but at the same time would damage the products that are being sold or the image or the corporation that hired Glenn Beck, you better know Glenn Beck is not going to go against that $20 million a year paycheck. He's going to represent that paycheck, and you're going to get cut out, put out in the cold. What they pay these men these large amounts of money to do, if they are very good at selling ideas to you to make you think that's what you want. Right now, Fox News, and all media for that matter, have sold the American people the idea that they don't want to know about Obama's constitutional eligibility. That is unimportant. And they've told you that that whole entire idea needs to be swept someplace else, and let's go after his policies. You wouldn't have gone along with that had not the dunghead media, Glenn Beck and a ton of others, told you to believe that. Now, of course, listen, if you're an automobile salesman, maybe you work for a television corporation, or maybe you work for an appliance store, you know, PC Richards or Macy's or somebody, and you're selling television or you're selling cars or you're selling coats, you're making $10, $20 million a year, you know, you must be a pretty good salesman. So they're paying Glenn Beck $20 million a year, and it's going up next year, to sell you on the idea of not tampering with their money-making process. You have to know that these people then take a combination and they take polls on what your sympathetic leanings are, and they put them to psychiatrists, and psychiatrists then write the scripts for Sean Hannity, write the scripts for Glenn Beck, write the scripts for Bill O'Reilly, and these men are nothing more than pitch men for political ideas, because Fox News is all about political commentary. So therefore, you vote for the ideas that you have been sold by these pitch men. But the truth be told, you knew the real truth, you wouldn't go for this at all. So let me back up just a moment now. We understand that term limits is something that we ought to consider greatly regarding the politicians, congresspersons, and senators in Washington. But I'm suggesting to you that once a person starts being paid by one man millions of dollars to talk to the public, you got to know he is not going to represent the public anymore. He's going to represent that paycheck. Now, you know, obviously I don't earn a lot of money, don't earn any money for what I do, but I would be willing to say this, that once you hear that I'm picking up millions of dollars in salary for being a radio commentator, you ought to then distrust everything I say. Because you better believe, if I'm being paid millions of dollars by my boss, man, I'm going to tell, I don't care what he says or what you want, I'm going to protect that $1 million and tell you what my boss man says. Now here, you and I also know about the various cabals, the Bilderbergs, the Rothschilds, the Illuminatis, and all of these major conglomerates, these global, if you will, maniacal warmongers who control big business and control, they now hire people like Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh. They hire these people for their oratorical skills and talents to sell you on the idea of not asking about Obama's birth certificate is what I'm saying to you. And you bought it hook, line, and sinker. Can I go one further? The Tea Party started out really as a grassroots, independent, local organization who wanted to see a change in government, who believed that Obama was ineligible, illegal, and that a grievous mistake had been made, and they just took to the streets. And the movement looked like it wasn't going anywhere. Then all of a sudden, it looked like it was going somewhere. Big business stepped in and said, hey, let's buy them off. Let's co-opt them. The Koch brothers and others began to pour millions of dollars into the Tea Party organizations and then began to influence policy. And now the Tea Party is just as corrupt as the Democrats and the Republicans. There ain't 2 cents worth of difference, and you and I know it. The problem is what I'm trying to say to you, and I pray that you will wake up to this. Think of this for just a second. If you were being paid $20 million and you promised a double contract of that next year like Glenn Beck, would you represent the interests of your boss or would you represent the interests of the people? And don't you tell me that Fox News has the interests of the everyday working man, the kitchen table issues in America. Fox News is not concerned about that. Fox News is concerned about Fox News. Fox News is concerned about making money, and they're all in competition. So when you hear Glenn Beck, I don't care how sweet he's talking. It doesn't matter who he's exposing or what he is doing. He has a game. He has a plan to convince you to come and believe him as he's some sort of a guru so he can keep making that $20 million and his boss can stay happy with them. But I guarantee you, they will not let opposing views on Fox, ABC, or anybody else. You know why? If you are diabolically opposed and can prove your point and have a logical, reasonable argument against what Fox News or Glenn Beck is saying, you don't get an opportunity. You got to be a yes man to get on Bill Riley's show like that Mark LeMidget Hill. You got to be a yes man. Well, Mark LeMidget Hill is not just a yes man. He's a butt kisser to Bill O'Reilly. But you can't get on any of these shows. And now here's the other thing. CNN, they're falling in the ratings. They're just dwindling, I mean, like a balloon running out of air. And they're now grasping to try to attract the black audience. So, which is something that Ted Turner didn't care about no black folk, and you know he didn't. But now they're trying to get the black audience on board because that's the only demographics that's left that they can corner, because Fox and the mainstream dunghead media got the rest. So they're programming and hiring people that can pitch to the black audience, having people like Tyler Perry and Michael Bazin and all that crowd on and the Soul Train and all that, because they're now trying to pitch to the black. It's all about money. My point is this, if you'll allow me to have one, is this. Glenn Beck is the slickest television salesman we've seen in a long time. This boy is a snake oil salesman that will make the wild, wild west look like they didn't have any idea which way was east or north. He is a snake oil salesman, and he sits there and tear jerks you. He cries, you cry, and now you're going to get up and go and do what he says is the best American policy. You're crazy for doing that. The man is simply making money. Here, once you learn, those of you that are listening to me, that I'm earning in the millions of dollars, you better watch carefully what I say. Probably the better thing to do is turn me off. Because I don't no longer have the people at heart. I'm trying to keep my paycheck. I'm trying to keep. So you get the idea? And then finally, these news corporations are fighting one another. I'm sick and tired of the mudslinging between Fox and the liberal media, the dunghead media. And they're all vying for dollars. My friends, you just need to wake up. You need to wake up to Glenn Beck. You need to understand. You say, well, I agree with the things he is saying. Yeah, because he has conditioned you to agree. He has stolen your independence, and thusly, and he has played on your fears. Yeah, those guys that went down to Washington about preserving sanity and, you know, promote fear, they were right. This man has conditioned you. When you first started listening to him, you weren't interested in what he said because you thought he was a jerk. He has conditioned your fears, and he has now brought you into his web of lies and deceit and got you thinking everybody in the world is against you. And if Glenn Beck don't protect you, the Bilderberg's going to come get you. The boogeyman of the Illuminati, the Rothschild boogeyman, is going to get you. Or the black boogeyman is going to come up and get you. If you don't listen to what Glenn Beck and follow lockstep what he said, they're going to get you. Obama's going to get you. So you must hear what Glenn Beck says. It's all nothing more than a snake oil salesman game. You need to wake up, America. You need to wake up. and understand. Term limits for congressperson, and you need to turn off these high-priced snake oil salesmen on Fox and ABC, CBS, MSNBC, and all the others. They're just high-priced snake oil salesmen. Wake up out there or continue to go down the slippery path of hell while our nation is going to hell in a Cracker Jack box. I'll be back with more of this on More of the Manning Report. Hang around until you hear I'm making millions, then you need to cut me loose too. God Almighty is going to save this nation, and he's going to use you to do it. God's going to save this nation. This nation will not become a quasi-Islamic Marxist nation. God is going to save America, and he's going to use you. I am a patriot. You've never had a black man say he's a patriot. Listen loud. But I'm also a Christian. I love Jesus. I do. I love him, I tell you. I love the Lord. Thank God. He's going to take care of me. He's going to see me through every trial. The Lord's going to see me through. And he's going to see you through as well. All right, look alive, everybody. Back. This is the Manning Report, the report that's planning a three-hour online Thanksgiving worship service. That's right. That's right. You can worship and pray at home on Thanksgiving listening to Manning and Cersei. That's right. So that'll be November the 25th. I think it's Thanksgiving. And then Christmas is only, it'll be just 30 days later, we'll be into Christmas, if you get into that kind of thing. So be aware of that, and also be aware that it's Veterans Day today. That's right. All veterans, hello, how are you doing? And we salute you and thank you for your great service to our nation. We are excited about honoring you today. Long-legged Mac Dad is in Seoul, Korea, laid a wreath at someplace over there in Seoul, and somebody reported that he was AWOL on Veterans Day. That guy doesn't care anything about the U.S. military except how to destroy it. But now I've got a call on the line. Let me take a caller because I know a number of y'all are trying to get through, and we have not picked up. We've been busy. That's what you get when the phone. Hello, caller.
Hello, Pastor. How are you, sir?
Just fine, John. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Hey, John. So they've got the Splendor has arrived out there in your hometown. You're going to have a lot of people going to be partying in the hotel tonight because Carnival Cruise Line is picking up some big champagne tabs out there, and rental cars. Going to be a big time out there now in your town.
Good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about his future, Pastor. It's scary to speculate. You know? It's uncertainty from my perspective.
Well, you know, I'm convinced that our world is under prophetic constraints by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to read the Bible to find out and not the New York Times. Listen, John, I got another call on the line, but it's good talking to you. The Lord bless you richly as well, friend. Hello, caller.
Hello, Pastor Manning. How are you doing today?
Just fine. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Hey, God bless you and all that you're doing, and I just wanted to give you a pull your coat on an incident that happened to me last night and just kind of make you aware of an event that happened at the Sarah Palin Tea Party last night at the Majestic Theater in downtown Dallas.
Go ahead and pull my coat. What happened?
Okay. Well, you know, I'm a big supporter of Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, and he's got a website called Safeguard Our Constitution. And on that website, he says, print out my flyers and pass them out. And so I got myself a laser jet printer and a toner cartridge, and I printed out about 150 of them. And I took them to the Sarah Palin, Rick Perry, and there's also another gentleman by the name of Stephen Broden. I don't know if you know.
I know Stephen Broden. Yeah, I know him.
He's a good man, I think. But he was going to be talking there as well. So my fiance and I got to the Majestic Theater in downtown Dallas, and it was kind of pricey to get inside. It was $100 a piece, and, you know, there were some fancy dressed people all around, but we did pay it and get inside. And so while I was inside the theater, I decided to, you know, I was going to ask people if they didn't mind if I passed out a flyer for Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin and try to raise awareness of the issue. Well, a community organizer girl comes over, and she's got her clipboard, and she asked me what I was doing. And I asked her, you know, I told her I was passing out flyers and asked her if she wanted one. last I checked, this was still America, and we have the right to talk to people around us, right? And just ask politely if they want a flyer. Well, she tried to physically take all my flyers away.
Really?
And, you know, yeah, exactly. She tried to physically pull them out of my hands. You may not know this, but I also have business cards of, really nice business cards of you and Elizabeth. And on the front of it, it says, where's the birth certificate? And it has your atlaw.org website as well as your YouTube site. And I was passing those out as well.
Boy.
And,
and you're still alive?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you. You're telling me. We'll listen. Okay. Everybody listen to you now. Everybody.
Okay. Well, after she tried to physically take them away, I mean, this cost me a lot of money, the time to make. I got kind of excited, and I said, you know, this is not your property, ma'am. You can't have these. And she, you know, snapped her fingers, and next thing I know, I'm surrounded by four police officers, and they got me in handcuffs, and they're taking me out of the Majestic Theater in downtown Dallas. So the only conclusion I can come to is that the Tea Party and the fancy dressed people in downtown Dallas that want to see Rick Perry and Sarah Palin just don't want to hear the truth about Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin.
That's unfortunate, just, you know that
they simply don't want to hear it.
No, they don't. And it's unfortunate that our nation would be at a position where they are allowing a man who spent all the years he did in medical school, practiced medicine for 18 years, has served the military, has never been involved in any kind of crime, has been an honorable soldier, a decorated soldier, and he simply made a statement which was his constitutional right, which every good patriot should do, and he's in prison for it. And the classy, so-called classy politicians that are worshipped by the masses do not want to be associated with this man, my God, from Zion. They don't want to be associated with him. They don't want any their names associated with people who are patriots in regard to Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. I think that's tragic that it's happening in our nation.
Yes, sir. It's absolutely tragic. And it was amazing how you know they wanted to confiscate my material and squelch my freedom of speech. But I just wanted to share that with you because I thought that was absolutely amazing. I try to pass out flyers and DVDs. And one last question, and I'll let you get back to your radio show. Your videos are absolutely off the charts as far as, you know, just powerful to, you know, enlighten people with the truth and, you know, the message that you speak and the words that you speak and the videos and, you know, seeing it. And I've just found it incredibly difficult to find your videos. And I looked around on your website and I wanted to mention that and that if you, you know, I know that I'm not the only one looking for them, but, you know, I do pass out quite a bit of DVDs and I would love to have a stack of James David Mannon, Pastor James David Mannon DVDs to pass out, but I'm just having a hard time locating them. So I just wanted to leave you with that thought and, you know, if there's something that could be done about that, I'm sure there's a demand out there for it.
Let me try to answer that quickly for you. Number one is that at our website at otlaw.org, we do have a media store where our videos should be listed, but they're also accessible at Otlaw Worldwide on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and then type in the search category Otlaw Worldwide, we have everything that we've ever posted on YouTube for the most part is still there, which is quite a few videos, and you can catch them there.
One last thought. I'm aware they are available on YouTube, but a lot of the older generation, you know, the 50 plus, 40 plus, 45 plus, they simply are not. You know, they barely know how to double click. And if
you're
I tell
right.
them to go to YouTube, they have a hard time, you know, with the internet savvy. And it's a very powerful thing to hand them a physical DVD they can put in their, you know, their home DVD player. But I will look at the media network.
I have your telephone.
Sure,
what's your name again, Trent? What's your name again?
My name is Rudy Davis.
Rudy Davis. Rudy. I have, weren't you here for the trial?
Yes, sir, I sure was.
Didn't you wear that American flag on your head?
Yes, sir,
you
I
and,
sure did.
You and Aaron, when Aaron, was Aaron here with you as well?
Aaron was here with me, and she was there last
well,
night.
Why didn't you tell me who you were, man? Why are you talking to me? You didn't tell me who you were. What's going on? Anyway,
Rudy. I'm not ashamed to be a part of the trial. It's one of the proudest things I ever did.
Rudy, listen, I'm going to have one of our assistants call you. She's a great people person, and she's going to call you, and she's going to ship to you all the videos that you want. That you should have them within a few days, all right? So look for Look for a phone call. We've got your number. We got all your information. You'll be called sometime today, and you tell her what you want, and she'll make some suggestions, and it'll go out in the mail to you post-haste.
God bless you, and thank you for all you do, Pastor Manning. We're going to get attention to Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lake and come heck or high water. We're going to get him some attention no matter what we got to do, and thank
I'm
you for
gonna,
all that you
I'm
do.
I'm going to get it. You're right, hell or high water. There'll be a price to pay in America if they do any injury to this man. But thank you for calling in, Rudy. I got another call on the line.
God bless you. Take care.
All right. The other caller hung up. I'm sorry, caller, if you hung up while I was talking to him. We got it. The caller's still here. Hello, caller.
Hello, Rev.
Hello.
Hello, Reverend Manning.
How you doing?
Hey, this is Jim.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm back up here in Manhattan and listening. You talking about light is way greater than darkness, right?
It is. Yeah. Darkness.
And this kind of thing that's going on, you know, it's a volcano. It's like a volcano brewing. There's going to be rebellion. We're going to be standing against all this kind of thing.
Well, I can tell you this. There's never been a time in history where evil has won. And so all the people that are on the side of evil need to understand that justice will prevail, and it's going to happen here in this nation. So they better find out where they want to stand. They're standing on the other side, the wrong side. Anybody standing with Obama and all of his crowd, they're standing on the wrong side.
Well, that's right, Pastor. And
what are you doing in Manhattan? Where are you at? Are you down at Times Square someplace?
No, I'm up on the Upper East Side. I'm going to see you in church this Saturday.
Oh, all right. Okay. Very well.
Yeah.
Make sure you come up and talk to me.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate you. You know, you're preaching from the good news, and the good news is Jesus.
That's right.
And that's who we follow, right?
Absolutely. Oh, Jesus. Amen. All the time.
Amen, brother. Well, I appreciate you. God bless you, protect you, and continue to direct you.
Thank you for that prayer, Jim. Now, listen, I'll be waiting for you to show up Saturday at worship. I want to see you.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see me.
Thank you for calling in.
Hey, God bless.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, thank God for Rudy and for calling in from down in Texas. Imagine that. And for Jim right here in the city. Imagine that, trying to take the man's flyers from him and his business cards about a patriot. You know, and these people, Sarah Palin, Rick Perry, Steve Broden, they're supposed to be about the people, aren't they? This has just gotten too far out of hand. It just is. It doesn't make any sense that America has now come to this point. But in respect for what Rudy has done, but let me just say as well, today is Veterans Day. And as I have stated, my father contracted a disease in the jungles of New Guinea. Well, I have another caller. I've said this, but I want to talk about my father, my uncles, and then I want to talk about Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lake and Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick and the Leavenworth Turn 10. But however, if we do not find a way to teach our young about the importance of the flag and about that we are a nation under God and that our liberty cannot be marginalized, and it's for everybody, as the quote and the pledge states, we are losing that, and many of our young people just don't know that anymore, and they don't know they should be committed to it. And we need to continue to pray to educate our young people about the flag and about this great nation that we're a part of. All right, I got another call on the line. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hey, Pastor. How are you?
Just fine. How are you doing?
Not bad. May God bless you. And let's be honest, without the veterans, our country, what it is today, wouldn't be. And even around the world, because America, you know, used to stand for, you know, freedom, and the light used to shine all over the world. But the thing I want to ask you today, and I would just like to ask your comment and get your opinion. Two things. Why are mostly, you know, black baby mama drama when I was watching the Murray Show, and you're not seeing a lot of, you know, Chinese or Japanese or even Asians for that matter, or, you know, why, you know, the black people or the black race more than everybody else is tied up with the whole there's no father in the house. And the other thing, what do you think about Bishop Eddie Long issue down there in Atlanta? Thank you, sir. I'll listen for your reply.
All right. Number one, the fact that black men have more so than any other group of men in the history of the planet abdicated responsibility to their children can be found in several answers and degrees. Number one is that during the period of the African inhabitation, black men use women to produce income, and the black men themselves who called themselves warriors, but for the most part, the community was taken care of by women. That spirit has not left. But I think the other thing is that, and probably more eminent than that, is that the black man's hatred for the success of the white man, and I pray that everyone will hear this and take the time to patiently try to understand what I'm saying, because a very important question was just asked. Millions of lives are at stake. People have suffered greatly because this answer has not been given, and not that I am some sort of a guru to give it, but I've been asked, and let me respond, and I've been responding to this for several years. The black man's hatred for a Western European white man's success prevents him from being a provider, and therefore his wife will not let him stay in the home. His pride will not let him stay in the home if he is not a provider. Now, and let me tell you, let me proof text what I'm saying. Up until the time of the civil rights movement, throughout the period known as the Jim Crow period, every black family had a black man snoring in those houses at night. Even though they lived in cramped quarters, he didn't earn a lot of money, they were all poor as they could possibly be. But black men went home to their wives and children at night, I mean to the tune of 90% to 97%. Up until the beginning of the civil rights movement and the opportunity for black men to publicly display their hatred and disdain for white America. When that happened, the black man was no longer able to go and work for the white man. And I don't, these black and white terms seem so incendiary when I use it that way. But that is the problem. There is so much hate in the heart of the black man. See, the Asian doesn't hate the white man, so he can work for him. If the Asian is told by a European or white man to go pick up that box and take it over there and get it done before sundown, otherwise I'm going to fire you, the Asian doesn't get mad. He gets going because he recognizes. But you say that to a black man, he's ready to call Jesse Jackson. And then you've got these leaders, Sharpton, Jackson, Farrakhan, and others, who continue to teach black men to have this hatred so that they can't work. The black man can't work. You can't send black children to school. If they go to school and the teacher says you didn't do that right, go back and do it the right way. The black student is ready to call home and say, Mama, this white teacher don't like me. I won't leave this school. That is what, this is only a generation and a half phenomena where black men have come to the point where they're no longer in the homes and no longer responsible. They used to be like the Asian people. They were. Check the history all back from Jim Crow all the way back to slavery, and through that point, they were at home. But when you see people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, these people need to be put on trial in the community tribunal, and the evidence presented of the misery that they have brought to the black community, and they need to be tried and hung for it. And finally, Eddie Long is just a representation of what most of these mega pastors and most small pastor, if you will, churches are all about. They've not been called by God, but black women have been left without strong leadership. And so they go to these churches and they worship these men who, if they had any scintilla of the power of God about them, they would not take advantage of these women. So they built these mega churches. T.D. Jakes built a mega church telling women that they are free from having to worry about a man. And women could not get enough of that woman thou art loose. Black women, that is. And so we need to understand that that is what's going on in our nation. It needs to be corrected. You need to drain these hearts of black people of the hatred they have for white people. And so they can go back and work and be productive again. Listen, caller, thank you for your call. I got to take a break and pay some taxes. I'll be right back, everybody.
From Harlem to the world, this is the Dr. Pastor James David Manning Show.
Just let me hear it.
right, everybody, heads up. You've got the third hour of the Manning Report. I am James David Manning, the quintessential American, broadcasting from the great metropolis of New York City. How's everybody doing today? I'm going to a concert tonight. Adam Unger is going to be performing at the Christ at St. Stephen's Church on 69th Street between Columbus and Amsterdam Avenue. And just a tremendous performer. And so I'm going to that concert tonight, that recital, and to relax a little bit. Amen. Enjoy some great Italian repertoire from Adam Unger. And by the way, he's going to be performing right here at the Outlaw World Missionary Church as well on the 21st of November, which is a week from Sunday evening at 6 p.m. And you are invited. Everyone's invited. And there's no admission, unlike the Majestic Theater, where Sarah Palin and Rick Perry were picking up $100 just to get in the door down there to hear nothing. But we are inviting you to come to hear Adam on the 21st of November. And we want to remind everybody that there will be an online Thanksgiving worship service. That's right. Jim Cersei, great patriot and man of God. I should call him great prophet and patriot, man of God. He and I will be conducting a joint Thanksgiving service on the 25th of November that will last for 3 hours, which will give you an opportunity on Thanksgiving Day to, as you're making your pumpkin pie and your basting your turkey and your stuffing your turkey and everything else that you're going to be doing, that you can listen. And we're going to have some periods of prayer where I'll call for time of silence, and there will be prayers, Thanksgiving prayers, and I'll give a little sermon, and Cersei will give a little sermon, and then there will be some testimonies and all of that. We'll probably have some people singing as well. Some of our great soloists will render some songs. It'll be a full worship service that we will stream into your homes on Thanksgiving Day, November 25th. So right here at Outlaw.org. Right here at Outlaw.org on the 25th of November. And you are aware that you can reach us now. You don't need to be stuck at your computer or your radio or whatever it is, whatever you've been listening to. You can now get us on your cell phone by dialing number 323-843-0075. And they'll ask you for an access code, and the access code would be 515-862. That's right, 323-843-0075. And they'll ask you for the access code, which is 515-862. And there you have it, my friends, my brothers and my sisters. Now, I'm concerned about the state of affairs. I got to take a break now. Is that what it is? I got to take a break. All right. Okay, let's go ahead and take the break. And I want to talk to you about veterans when I get back. And I need you to please stay tuned for that. Amen. We got to do something about this. What's happening in our nation? It's Veterans Day, everybody. I'll be back in two shakes of a cat's tail. Or maybe one shake, depending on how long the tail is.
If everybody knows that he's hiding something, that he's not legally, constitutionally qualified to be president, and all these people in power know it, then is it not possible that someone is holding this nation hostage, and they're using Obama to do that? And if in fact they are holding us hostage, that's why the George Bushes and the, you know, everybody else aren't saying anything, because if they do, then maybe something will happen.
You're listening to the Manning Report with Dr. James David Manning. The Manning Report will continue in a moment.
All right, heads up, everybody. It's Veterans Day, and all of America, Veterans Day celebrations are enjoined, and I congratulate America for recognizing the service of the men and women who have defended the Constitution of this nation across the many years since it has been
the guiding document for our liberty, our pursuit of happiness, and our expression, and the unprecedented growth that this nation has enjoyed and its position in world leadership. Veterans are integral to that process, and the Constitution is what has been the unifying force guiding all veteran affairs in terms of military conquest and the reason why men have joined the U.S. military. When Patrick Henry stated so nobly in a moment in crisis that he did not realize would catapult him into the history books forever regarding standing against the maniacal government of King George in England and recognizing God's blessings upon the American settlers, when he said, "Give me liberty or give me death," was simply a statement of conviction, and it has been heralded as one of the greatest statements of the Revolutionary period. The 56 signers of the Constitution of the United States of America, likewise in declaring our independence, recognize that there comes a time in the nation, history of any nation or people, when they must seek their own autonomy and seek righteousness and justice as God would liberally give it to all men. And so the Declaration was formed and the articles were written, and thus we have it, the Constitution. Now, there is a man named Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin who spent his boyhood years studying hard, doing the math and science required to meet medical school. And he enrolled and was graduated from the medical school and began a medical practice and gave himself, though he could have had a lucrative career out with some private practice, gave himself over to the military service where he would apply his medical skills serving the U.S. Army and thus serving you and I as a physician and a soldier and a patriot, and was doing quite well, had served for 18 years and had been decorated as a serviceman. But then here comes Barack Hussein Obama, a man that millions of Americans were suspicious of upon his arrival upon the scene of the American political understanding, and millions more of Americans are still suspicious of him, and even the people that claim that they believe him to be legit don't know who he is and don't have one shred of evidence to prove that he should hold the office of president according to our U.S. Constitution, upon which a document that literally billions of gallons of blood have been spilled over the ages, even men in Russia, Asia, and other places, looking to the Constitution as an ultimate light, have shed their blood. And so one other soldier stands forth in the midst of doubts about Barack Hussein Obama, named Lieutenant Colonel Terrence Lakin, and stated that he did not believe that the above-mentioned person, or said-mentioned person, has the authority to order him into deployment into Afghanistan. And so thusly he refused orders, which was his constitutional right, because every officer makes a pledge to uphold the U.S. Constitution. And if there is a violator of said Constitution, then that officer should stand in defense of the Constitution and not in defense of the office of the president. And we need to be clear about that, and the Constitution is most clear about it. Now, this man, who's never committed crimes, worked hard all of his life, completed medical school, was then charged with disobeying a direct order. Notwithstanding, the order that he disobeyed was an illegal order. He has been imprisoned and is now under court-martial threat because of such disobeying. Now, that we can perhaps understand, because we don't want people disobeying orders from their superior, otherwise we got mutiny and we no longer have a military force. Those that are subject to higher powers and higher officers must obey those orders unless those orders are illegal and should not be carried out and are against the will of the people and against the Constitution. Then every soldier has every right to disobey and be protected by the court and the people. And thusly, the same kind of protection should be given to Lieutenant Colonel Terrence Lakin. However, he has not been given that. Okay, now he's been court-martialed. What has taken place, however, is that all of the American public, except for a fateful few, have gone ahead and adjudged this man guilty of disobeying an order given by the U.S. president, and in this case, the alleged U.S. president. And therefore, even though every man in the American jurisprudence is considered innocent until proven guilty, how many people do you know during the course of our republic that have been accused of a crime but have been found later to be innocent? How many people have you heard in your brief lifetime that have been accused of a capital crime and have been put on death row? But for the mercy of God, evidence was brought forward that was denied them in discovery or in otherwise, or because of racism or prejudice or other kinds of ways in which people were framed and entrapped, to be later found to be 100% innocent and were exonerated. And so that has been our American way. But the media, the politicians, the Sarah Palins, the Glenn Becks, the George Bush, I mean, all of the Bill Clintons, all of these people have turned their back and a deaf ear. All of the media have turned a deaf ear to any semblance of the fact that perhaps Terry Lakin, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, could very possibly be innocent. And we are now defending the most notorious, the most infamous criminal in the history of this republic. At the very least, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin ought to be given the opportunity, a presumption of innocence, until surely proven guilty. But all have turned their backs on him. And in fact, people that you consider to be patriots and that you worship and you give money to and you're willing to die for, like Sarah Palin or the Tea Party or others, who will not mention this man. Glenn Beck held a rally where 500,000 people came to hear him in Washington, D.C., on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in front of that great freedom fighter, Abraham Lincoln. And he named the conference Restoring Honor. And he called out an old black preacher who had been a part of the Freedom Rides of the Civil Rights Organization, of the Civil Rights Era, and gave him an honor for standing up in the deep racial South during the days of Jim Crow. And because this black preacher stood up against the racial South, he was given a badge of honor by Glenn Beck. But yet, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin's name was not even so much as mentioned as to pray for him. And pray for him if he's wrong, if he's misguided, if indeed Barack Hussein Obama is indeed a legal president, and Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin is wrong, let's pray for him that he might recant. Let's pray for him at this day of honor. His name was not mentioned. And let me tell you why they don't mention his name. Because they are afraid of the truth. My fellow Americans, I need to say to you, something has gone tragically wrong in our nation. I stated earlier that these pundits like Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh don't represent the people. Please hear my heart. When you're being paid $20 to $25 to $50 million a year, you got to keep your bosses happy. You got to keep your shareholders happy. You got to keep the constituencies that writes that big paycheck out to you happy. And so thusly, small people always get marginalized. You and I know since the beginning of time that the wealthy and the rich and the evil have always taken advantage of the poor and the innocent. And that's what's happening on Fox News. They're being paid. Glenn Beck is being paid to snake oil salesmen you and to get you to buy the line that profits the bottom line of Fox News. He's not a patriot. Patriots don't need to be paid $20 million to stand up. And we know that the Bible has declared in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, that money, the love of money, is the root of all evil. I want to ask you to please consider that when you look at Sarah Palin, you're looking at a woman who quit her job as governor when she was offered a book deal, and now she's written a second one. Why so many books so quick, except to rake in the money while the going is hot? television shows. She's now even promoting her daughter to make money. And those of you who have called me and all kind of ugly names and said that as a black man, I don't have the authority to chastise anybody white, that I should only keep my mouth in the backyard of black people because they got a lot of trouble and I'm only useful there. And many of you said that because of what I've said about Sarah Palin, you're never going to support me again. Okay, I understand that. But you know, I've received thousands and thousands of emails of hate from you who stated that you once were my friend as long as I only talked about black people. But you know, I understand that, just racism. It's what's joined you to Sarah Palin. That's outright racism, just race hatred to say I should only speak to black people and not white people. We know that's racism, and we know that you're racist. But I'm not troubled by that. You know what I'm troubled by? Number one is that you won't stand up for Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, and you're allowing him to be railroaded without due course. And the other thing I'm concerned about is that, you know, I prayed for Bristol Palin when she was 17, had a baby out of wedlock, and still not married. But I prayed for her because I felt like Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, she was being marginalized and being brutalized and being scandalized by the liberal media. So I came up and came out. And over 2.6 million people have heard me pray that prayer on YouTube. I made them shut up when they were putting their mouth on Bristol Palin. And I'm doing the same thing now for Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. But not one of you people who told me as a black man I don't have the authority to chastise white people, not one of you have ever mentioned the fact that I prayed for Sarah Palin's daughter. So I think that you and America, we've got a lot of ground to cover. We do. Now, racial hatred and bigotry, I believe that God allowed me to point up Sarah Palin's racism so that it could also be pointed out just how racist you are. Yes, you are. You know, you're very racist. When you say, I cannot chastise white people, I only have the authority to chastise black people. God, our wonderful Savior, works in mysterious ways with wonders to perform. Now, for those of you who have stayed with me through the crisis and have not abdicated and have not chastised me, thank you. But many of you don't realize that you are racist when you wrote to me and told me I should not be talking about Sarah Palin and that she is not a racist and that I was wrong for doing so. You did that because you don't realize that you too are racist. I'm praying for you. I am, that God will heal you. But finally, back to Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. America, you'd better allow this man to stand. He is our modern-day Patrick Henry. And let me speak a word about Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick. Don't allow this man to be railroaded down there in Tennessee. Today is an all-important day to honor our veterans. You worship Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck, and yet you allow the fighting men like Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick and Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin to be railroaded into hard labor, and you will not lift a finger to help them, because you too have a long way to go before you understand the definition of patriotism. I'm James David Manning. I am the quintessential American with patriotism running through my blood. And whether you're willing to receive me and you want to defend Sarah Palin or not, you can learn a lot from me about how to love America. In fact, you can learn a lot from me about how to love humanity. In fact, anybody who's prejudiced or racist at the way that you've written to me and said to me, you could learn a lot about life from me. You need to be delivered. I'll keep on preaching and teaching, and you'll keep growing if you listen. God bless you. I'll pray for you. God, and his name is Jesus, he has blessed America. God has blessed America from sea to shining sea. Now, you may not like that, but he has blessed this nation. He has smiled upon it. He has blessed her. He has blessed this nation. Everybody wants to get to America because God has blessed it. They tell stories in the third world that there's gold in the streets of America. If you can just get here, you can make it if you just can get to America. You ride from sea to shining sea, and everywhere looks like God had just smiled all over the place. I mean, he just blessed all out in Pennsylvania, all out in Ohio. He just blessed all up and down California. He just blessed. He's blessed this land. He's blessed New York City. He's blessed with rivers and oceans. He's blessed you. God did this. God did it. Man didn't do this. God did this. And for you to not recognize that makes me suspect of your integrity and your honesty. All right, look alive, everybody. I'm back with more of the Manning Report, the last hour of the Manning Report, David Manning. Now, I need to ask you to help me. The deal is this, is that we're having a little problem here, and our problem is with YouTube. I don't want to get those people over there at Google upset, and you know how they are. They're all liberal, they all love Obama, and ain't no telling what they're into. Yeah, but here's the deal. I need you to help spread the word. I do. If you happen to have the opportunity to have our videos mailed to you, then send them to as many people as you can. And just make sure that you always do that. Even some of the videos that maybe, you know, you find them, some of them amusing or good, and you find some of them not so good, just send them anyway to as many people as you can. I need you to do that. The entire media world are against me now. They are completely and fully against me, and nobody will interview me anymore. Nobody will even since the trial. Now, I mean, I said a lot of things, as you know. I talked about everybody, but since the CIA, Columbia, Obama sedition, treason trial, after that trial, nobody would touch me with a 10-foot pole because nobody wants to talk about that trial. Can I say this to you? That, and of course, Captain Neil Turner has wrote a great piece about the constitutional mandate of that trial. And that trial is locked into the constitutional privilege for us to hold it. And you can go to our website at outlaw.org, and you can pull up the transcript and read the transcript and the introductory statements by myself and Captain Neil Turner. You read those statements along and then read the transcript. You're going to find a lot of very interesting information. But nobody wants to touch Manning since the trial. Why? I can tell you why. Because if the information gets out that American citizens can bring a person to trial, a congressman, a mayor, or a senator, or a politician, that a citizens group can get together and under the Constitution, put that person on trial, the powers that be don't want you to know that. I could put Sarah Palin on trial right now if I so choose to do so. I'd have to have a just cause, obviously, not some flimsy, you know, charge. But I could put Fox News on trial. I mean, you can do the Constitution clearly illustrates that the powers are retained by we the people, for we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And few people have realized the power that the Constitution gives to us. So it isn't just the fact that the evidence contained in the transcript, if you go to our website and read it, demonstrates that Obama's unequivocally guilty. He never went to Columbia University. But there's another lesson here to be learned that the powers that be don't want America to wake up to. You can put a politician or corporation on trial. Now, again, you must have substantial charges. You cannot bring flimsy charges against someone. But if the charges are valid, you can put them on trial. And that's what they are afraid of. Even the people that once were supporters of me prior to the trial. I mean, through the Obama election, through me calling Obama names and talking about his wife and his mother. Well, they stayed for that. No problem. But when that trial, which was a masterpiece, if I must say so myself, was conducted and Obama found guilty, the powers that be realized that this cannot get out to the American people. So I need you to help me spread the word of what we're doing. Pass around the videos. If I send you an email, pass it around. And look for our emails. Open them up. Go to our YouTube postings and support them and pass them around. And let's get the word out nonetheless. America shall be set free. No doubt about it. We will not. Obama will not prevail. And my voice will not be silenced by those powers that don't want us having the kind of control that God's given to us.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.